This is Pat Tomlinson in Illinois talking with Dr. Brian Gardner. Dr. Gardner joined the company in 2019 and is currently technical director for Ag Spectrum. Brian is working at his home near Columbus, Ohio. Thanks for taking the time to talk today. How are things in Ohio?
Things are actually going well. We've had a nice warm fall, which has helped people with their harvest windows, but it's about to turn cold and people will come inside and start thinking about next year.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk, Brian, and with harvest mostly behind us, we're seeing associates and growers starting to pull soil samples for analysis, and it seems like a good time to ask you some of the questions I've heard from dealers and customers in recent years about soil testing. I want to be efficient in using your time, so we'll just go through a few of the questions, and I know your answers will help us in approaching conversations with growers. That sound okay?
Excellent.
Okay, well, let's start with something really basic. The sampling depth we use of 6 3/4 inches, the plow layer. You know, today it seems we're most likely to see a moldboard plow parked by an old corn crib with a couple trees growing up through it. So does thinking of a plow layer still make sense with both tillage and root growth going past that level? Is it just tradition, or is it still the right sampling depth to test?
Well, the short answer is that for farmers on the maximum farming system, the standard sampling depth will do just fine in most situations. We've gone through and sampled a number of farms between 6 and 12 inches as well as further depths, and rarely do you actually see differences moving down to 6 to 12 inches. And the reason for this is that there's some natural soil mixing that occurs, particularly in soils that are biologically active.
Sounds like an additional benefit to an active biological profile in our soils that we don't always think about.
Tillage, of course, causes the variables that you measure on a soil test to homogenize because, you know, that mixes the soil. But in the topsoil, there's enough worm activity and small microarthropods and insects that are constantly moving and churning that over the time frame of a full growing season, their activity plus the activity of growing roots actually mixes the soil in ways that are really hard to perceive on a day-to-day basis, but definitely mix up the minerals and the nutrient pools significantly on a year-to-year time frame. There are some situations where you will see differences below the top 6 inches, and that's typically on heavily eroded soils or more nascent soils, which typically aren't farmed.
So does that natural mixing of the soil through biological activity, does that impact all the soil tests similarly? So, for example, calcium and magnesium base saturations and pH in the same way that a P and K would be impacted?
For the most part, yes. In some soils, pH and mineral concentrations can change pretty dramatically as one transitions into the subsoil, and such changes can affect biological activity that caused that mixing that we just talked about. But what limits natural soil mixing processes most are bulk density, clay content, mineral content, and reduced porosity, all of which tends to increase one-hit subsoil layers. And that typically doesn't happen until you get at least 12 inches below the surface.
Let's talk about how often we should be soil testing. What drives the recommendation for frequency of soil testing in our system?
Well, because the rate at which soil quality can change with mindful stewardship, we recommend testing and acting to manage soil chemistry every 2 years. This is more frequent than is common in the industry, but there are three good reasons for this. First, our science-based recommendations can help farmers tune their input applications in a manner that is both more effective and more profitable. Second, the rates at which lime and gypsum release calcium and can act to improve soil quality and rooting conditions can be optimally timed if applied on a biannual basis. And third, our recommendations can lead to more rapid and significant changes in soil quality than most people expect, and this can alter yield potential and will then affect our subsequent input recommendations. So I think it's particularly important for newer customers to be doing that testing every 2 years, because soil quality improvements over the first 10 years following the complete adoption of the maximum farming system will often lead to dramatic changes in soil health and increased yield potential.
Yeah, I also think about the maximum farming report, which is such a key part of the assistance we give growers in evaluating the system and documenting what is really positively correlated with yield and what isn't. And it will also be dependent on having the most current soil test readings, as they are in a period of shifting into the MFS. So for newer customers, that can be a big part of them appreciating the results of all their efforts in implementing the MFS.
Absolutely.
When we look at soil testing protocols and interpreting soil test results and think about the differences in the MFS in terms of in-season crop management, the most obvious ones being in-row fertility and banded in, as well as foliar fertilization. So given that, are the optimal ranges for nutrients and other soil tests going to be the same in a conventional system as they would be in the maximum farming system?
Well, it is possible to recalibrate one's testing protocols and the target soil test levels for most any type of management practice or convenience one wishes. In fact, one can readily argue that much of the conventional wisdom about less frequent soil testing, you know, every 3 or 4 years, and using crop replacement of P and K or application of preventative pesticide regimes, all of those things are required to meet yield goals that are fixed to practices of convenience. They're used to redirect farmers away from paying attention to proper soil management and how to steward them efficiently. In contrast, Ag Spectrum's approach to farm management asks farmers to pay attention to the fundamental principles at work in their soils and in their crops. And with regards to soil processes, that extra attention pays significant dividends by reducing input volumes and optimizing fertilizer management according to the 5 R's. All of that's going to save our customers money while improving their soil health and yield potential.
It sounds like the same reallocation principle we often talk about in explaining the system to new growers can also apply to our testing protocols and even to the 2-year interval we just talked about a minute ago. Reallocating resources from less efficient fertilizer application methods to acquiring more current soil test results to better monitor changes in our soils and better adjust our management to those changes will increase a farm operator's efficiency. Well, we've covered the first 3 questions I had for Dr. Gardner, and I've definitely got a few more to ask, but based on our time targets for this episode, I'm going to wrap this up today, and we'll be back next time with more soil testing questions and answers with Dr. Brian Gardner. Thanks for listening.